come on and spend time with Joe's people. Just like near the old cathedral. I'm so glad I'm one of Joe's people. And we'll have a lot of laughs, be closer to the Lord. Just chill out now with Joe's people.
Ladies and gentlemen of the interwebs, welcome to Joe's People. It's a Catholic podcast, but it's not totally lame. This week on the big show, our intrepid reporter attends the National Catholic Singles Conference in Philadelphia. He conducts Catholic on the Street interviews, gets people's impressions from the conference, and investigates the theology of dance. It's more Catholic fun than a papal conclave. And now, the man who makes me a better Catholic. Wait, I'm not saying that. Weren't you the prodigal son's bookie? Just say the line. Durr. All right. And now, the man who makes me a better Catholic, Mr. Joe Geisler. All right, so this is Joe Geisler reporting. I'm doing a Catholic on the Street interview for Joe's People, and we're here at the National Catholic Singles Conference, and I'm here with, so it's Jerry Dabrowski.
Yes, Jerry Dabrowski.
Okay, and... So you're from Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Yes, I am from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I was asked to be an official photographer for the conference.
Okay, cool.
So that's what you see me walking around, snapping in pictures. Whenever people don't see,
yeah,
I'm trying to...
You get the candid. You want the candid shots, right?
I want to capture the verbs.
Yeah. So the verbs.
Verbs.
So the action.
Action.
A lot of action going
emotions,
on.
Emotions, adjectives, you know. That's
yeah.
What
I, you want to get the emotion.
Emotions of the face. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And now, so you have this shirt on that says the King's Men.
King's Men is the part of the, big part of my mission in life. I belong to the wonderful organization that we have groups all over the United States.
Uh-huh.
And it is a Catholic-based organizations of the men that brings all men to the roots of our manhood.
Okay. And by the King's Men, you mean Jesus's men?
Jesus's men, yeah,
yeah,
of course. And a few times, four or five times a year, we have the retreat called the Into the Wild Retreat, which takes the place in the national state parks. We have those retreats all over the United States.
So bringing men back to nature, sort of.
Yes, we are going to back to nature, and we, by doing all the different things, under filled with the Holy Spirit. We are kind of bringing people back to the reality, how we're supposed to live normal life.
Yeah, back to nature, back to reality. So I hear a little bit of an accent. So is that a...
I'm Polish.
So Polish accent. See, I have my Polish friends in Austin, so they'd like to hear that. So we have a whole Austin Polish society and Polish Catholics, obviously.
Yeah, I used to live in Texas and Houston, but it was 20 years, 25 years ago.
Okay, yeah, there's a thriving Polish community there. So, in fact, also, in Houston as well. In fact, my friend Beata, she blew off one of our events once to go meet Lech Walesa in Houston. Okay. So, yeah. Well, I think she invited me to an event, then she didn't go to her own event. Well, no, we'll cut the one out. No biggie. I love you, Beata, you're awesome. But it So what do you think about the conference so far? Have you heard any of the talks?
I've heard all of them. The conference is awesome.
Yeah.
I've participated in many, many, many retreats in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And as a participant, as a leader, as a team member, and I could see what's happening over here. The involvement of the... Whenever people are open to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit works through them.
Definitely. Yeah.
So you can see how everybody's changing.
Making relationships.
Being open, being so full of joy. And you will see that by tomorrow, today is Saturday, by tomorrow, everybody will have a smile from here to here.
We hope so, right?
Yeah. It is amazing. You know, once you open yourself to the Holy Spirit,
yeah,
and let, by the grace of God, let fill you. with love and wisdom, you could say to the mountain, mountain move.
And the mountain will move,
and
right?
The mountain will move.
All right, great. All right. Well, that was awesome. All right. Well, it was good talking to you. And so thanks for your time. All right. Thanks. All right, this is Joe Geisler reporting for Joe's People. So I'm getting the impressions of the Catholic on the street about the National Catholic Singles Conference. So I'm with Brenda Dominguez. So, and now so you run the Austin Catholic Singles in Austin. So now what was your impression of the conference? Did you have fun?
You know, I did. And it wasn't until the Saturday benediction that it was just a turning point for me. It's funny because on Friday, a lot of people kept coming up to me and asking me, so what do you think about the conference? It's like, come on, guys, it's really the first night. Really, it was the benediction. It's just an incredibly beautiful experience. And then making friends here, the talks, a lot of them.
You finally
were
met
powerful.
Me. So that's
I finally
that was,
met Joe Geisler.
Yeah,
I have seen him on Facebook forever, heard his podcast. Been wondering what this guy looks like because apparently we have mutual friends.
There you go.
And I met him here in Philadelphia. That's funny.
That seems to be the way it works is, yeah, I meet my Texan friends in Austin nights way out of town. So, yeah. So, yeah, it looks like it's wrapping up the final announcements before Mass. So. But, yes, yeah, so which talk would you say or which speaker do you think you like the most or found most inspiring?
Oh, Emily Stimson's the only one I gave a 10 out of all the speakers. Her talks on femininity and Catholic dating are just right on, spot on. And what I loved about her, not only the way she speaks, but she's my age. She's 38 years old. It's like, whoa. It would sound someone my age who's going through the same things I am. And she's delightful. I got to speak to her one-on-one.
Not a married person telling you
what
you should be doing as a single.
Yeah, exactly. Someone who's never been married and gone through the dating scene and had her series of heartbreaks. And it was the tips she gave to us women were, oh, my goodness, she's so phenomenal. I saw her on EWTN, and then to actually meet her and see her speak in person, she's such a beautiful person, just a beautiful spirit.
Yeah, I met her I was talking with her just before. I think I'm gonna have her on the big show.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. That'd be awesome.
We're gonna do it by phone because I guess she's in Steubenville, right?
So, yeah.
So now tell us about Austin Catholic Singles.
Okay, so about I guess 2 years ago at the San Antonio National Catholic Singles Conference, I met a couple of ladies, one named Arlene and Arlene Lozano, another one Susan Torres. And we met at the San Antonio National Catholic Singles Conference, and we stayed in touch. And then over about a year or so of just, you know, hanging out, hey, let's go out to dinner. Susan would invite us, like, do you want to help me with this? And it'd be something church-related. Before you know it, we're doing our first presentation of Catholic dating. What does it look like? And we did it, like, the day before Valentine's.
Oh,
and
good timing.
We were expecting 15 people. We ended up getting over 40. The room was super packed. Hmm. We're like, we're on to something. We started a Facebook page, which started off with about 20 people. Right now we're over 130.
Cool.
It's not a lot, but, you know,
yeah,
for us it's a big deal.
Yeah. You're not. That's the thing, actually, to be honest, on Facebook, if you're not putting money in, then it's very hard to get, like,
exactly.
Actually. So the only way I get likes is when I pay cash.
Yeah, I know what you mean, the promote ad. No. Yeah, so I missed it. We just finished doing a talk this past Saturday called Positively Single with Father Kevin Ray from San Jose Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And it's just about the holiness of being a single person, you know, trials and tribulations. And I'm like, I'm sorry, ladies, I'm going to have to miss it. I'm going to the National Catholic Singles Conference. But we do have an upcoming retreat that we are co-hosting with the Cedar Break Retreat Center. We're very excited. It's our very first retreat that we're putting together.
Cool. We'll have to do an ad for that.
Absolutely.
What were the details again on it?
Okay, so it's November 1st weekend, and a lot of people are telling me, oh, that's the Dia de los Muertos, I can't make it, I have other things planned. But it's like, come on, well, at least come for the day thing, activities. If you want to take off at night, that's fine. We are going to be staying in the lodge as opposed to everyone having their private room. So it's going to be kind of like a dormitory setting, kind of camp out, bring your own sleeping bag, because there's not that many beds if you've ever been to Cedar Break Center. It's like trundle beds, cots.
Yeah.
So I think you're better off bringing a sleeping bag.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. We'll look forward to that. And yeah, we'll have to put together a whole plug for that.
Sure. So, sure.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. Good meeting you and having you on the show.
Yeah. So am I finally one of Joe's people?
Yeah. You want Joe's people.
Yay.
All right. I'll take a break. Okay. This is Joe Geisler for Joe's People reporting from the National Catholic Singles Conference. So your name is
Angela.
Well, your last name is.
That's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. You could be anonymous. I have friends that want to be anonymous through the entire life. But anyway, so Angela. So now, what was your? Okay. So first, wait. So you. Now wait. You came from California.
I came from Florida.
Florida.
They're both sunny. So you.
They're
got
both
part
sunny.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So we danced last night. So it was good. No. So now, what was your impression of the conference?
You know what? I'm impressed in a way that it's much more fun, mm-hmm. much more rich with spirituality than I anticipated. It's been, you know, so nourishing as a retreat with the adoration, and the speakers have been phenomenal, very insightful, and I've met some beautiful people and seen some people that I haven't seen in a while, so it's really been a blessing all the way around.
So that's the thing, is when you hear National Catholic Singles Conference, you think it's it doesn't sound like it's necessarily going to be a holy thing, right? So, but yeah, it's been it's like it's focused on theology of the body, right? So it's but there's a mix of stuff. There's been the talks, mass, we have all the sacraments available. Okay, other than holy orders and marriage, pretty much. But you know, yeah. And what about who was your favorite speaker? Do you think? Or what talk did you like the best?
Like, not to give you the diplomatic answer, but each of them...
You could say all of them.
No,
yeah.
Each of them had their own unique things that hit me differently. You know, you mentioned it being a holy retreat, and I suppose in a spiritual way, yes, holy, but it also pointed out a few holes in me.
So holy in another way,
yeah. Okay, and I'm good. Like, oh, you know, that speaker has a point. Oh, maybe I'll write that down and admit it to myself someday.
Cool. Yeah, that's what the person said, that Emily Stimson, she is single, and so she's, you know, giving a talk for single people. So it was nice to hear that. So one friend has said, yeah, she can definitely relate to her. So, and yeah, I know. And Father Loya, that was an awesome talk on. I guess he's an artist, so seemed like that was the way he was drawing women and men. Triangles and circles and stuff. So
you always know a good speaker when they can pull in your senses, you know, like they can put you in an environment and make you feel like you can smell it, you know, or they can make you feel like you can touch it or taste or see or hear it. And I found that he has that gift in his speaking. So that was very refreshing.
And that's a Catholic thing, right? To like touch things. And I mean the materialistic thing, right? Or not materialistic, but spiritual and material, not puritanical. So yeah, cool. So, so you'd give a thumbs up for the conference then? So you,
I'm going to give both hands all
both
the way
hands up. Okay, yeah, like
yeah,
the standard worship thing or Ron's position. All right, cool. All right, well, thanks for being on the show. All right, so this is Joe Geisler. So I'm here. So it's Matt Mordini. With Matt Mordini. So he espouses, or he's, so you're the sort of the author of Theology of Dance.
Yeah, that'd be.
Would you say?
So I would. I'm the founder of the Theology of Dance Institute.
Okay.
So basically, I call it Theology of Dance because it's a good sounding name. But I'm not the only person that really has thought the idea. Like Katrina Zeno's been doing this for a while. Actually, it was kind of funny because I was dancing and studying theology of the body, and you know, they just went together like perfectly.
Yeah.
And so I sat down and started, you know, writing material and talking to people about it. And you know, so I wanted to call up Father Loya, actually, and I said, hey, I'm writing this. How can I get people to take me seriously about it? I said, you talk to my friend Katrina about it.
Yeah.
I discovered that almost everything I had written, she'd already written before me. And so it was great because like, it kind of was like a, you know, like you reinvented the wheel, and that told you that it wasn't just me thinking up. I mean, it was actually God's idea of how this, you know, of how the human body is supposed to work.
Yes, you're sort of like one of the discoverers, possibly.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
God's written and you've uncovered it. So,
yes.
So what exactly? So it's a fusion of Catholic thought in in dance, or what would you say it is exactly?
I would say when we dance, we experience and we express the nuptial meaning of the body in a chaste and beautiful way. Dance is both, it's a very intimate kind of friendship, but also, in chaste, obviously, it's also, you know, a beautiful form of art.
Yeah.
And so between those two things, I mean, I would say it this way. You know, when John of the Cross wanted to talk about union with God, he sat down and he wrote love poetry, wrote it by himself with pen and paper. Well, I get to write love poetry with my partner, with our bodies and our spirits, so it's in union.
Yeah.
So it's like, so we get to, you know, it's another way of basically writing about the theology of the body, of the mystical union of Christ and the Church, only using this art form of dance. Theology of the body is, theology of the dance, excuse me, is a program that we're putting together, and so basically...
And you said it's four principles?
I talk about four levels of union.
Yeah.
So I talk about, you know, how the Trinity, going back to Gregory Nazianzus, talks about the Trinity, their life as a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then talk about how we follow Christ. The Church follows Christ, or the saint follows Christ. It's a dance. And we talk, the saint actually, in the program, we talk to the saint in the generic sense, we refer to her as she, because the saint is the person who dances with Christ in the music of the Spirit.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you look at marriage and this kind of dance of this leading and following in the Spirit of God. And then, of course, dance itself is a dance. So that's kind of different. And there's other forms of union, obviously, out there that we look at. And we try to, the closer they look like a dance, that means the closer they look like the Trinity.
Yeah.
And that means the more holy they are. So we can look at all their relationships. And they're not always going to be perfect unions because they're like, you know, like your job or, you know, in the military or in the school. There's going to be elements that keep it from being, per se, a perfect kind of union, like say, a dance or a marriage, or obviously living with Christ, following Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, they can get very close to, much closer to it. And so we want to look at those relationships, too, and try to find the freedom and the spontaneity that we find in the dance.
It's funny you talk about dancing with God. It reminds me of... Jacob, you know, Israel, he's the one that used to wrestle with God, right? So this is slightly less confrontational with God. So that's good. So.
Actually, it's a great point. Great point, Joe, because you know, one of the things that we talk about in the program is backleading God. Like when you dance, one of the worst things you do is when you dance with someone and the woman, you know, wants to tell you what to do, and it's like...
Yeah, that's what, backleading is, the guy tries to lead something, and the woman's like, no, I'm going to try this now.
Exactly.
Or let me jump into a dip or something
exactly,
like that.
Exactly, and sometimes it's because she wants to show off, sometimes it's because she doesn't know better.
I mean,
it's lots of different reasons, and so obviously with Jacob, you know, and sometimes you point out that sometimes backleading God is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
One of the greatest examples that I find of backleading in Scripture is the wedding feast at Cana, when, you know, Mary goes to Jesus and says, "Jesus, they're out of wine." And Jesus goes, "Woman, what concern is it? My hour's not yet come."
Yeah.
And Jesus, and when Mary says, "Do whatever he tells you."
Yeah.
So Mary is basically backleading Jesus at this point, and Jesus goes along with it.
Yeah.
And you can compare that, say, with the story of Jonah, and, you know, and Jonah's obviously backleading God the entire way of his whole story, and it's miserable. And the difference is the saint understands, like, God, I say this, that the saint is on fire with passion for God, that God doesn't want some little docile, it's a good word in many respects, but it gives the wrong image sometimes. It's something like, oh, whatever you say, God.
Yeah.
And really, God wants to play with the ball of fire, that when we're dancing on the floor, I really feel like I'm shaping a ball of fire, moving across the dance floor, all this passion.
Yeah.
That's what God's looking for in the saint. He's not looking, I mean, obviously he wants someone who's going to follow his lead.
We call that a heavy follow sometimes. Or I don't know if it's quite that analogy.
No.
But somebody with a lot of energy.
A lot of energy and a lot of passion. Like, you know, if I'm not going to give a lead for that pattern, say I'm doing, you know, I'm going to let her play, boom, she erupts into this beautiful, you know, exhibit of what it means to be a woman and what it means to be in fire and passion.
Yeah.
And then when I'm ready to lead her again, boom, she takes off again.
And she smiles when she dances.
Oh,
same
thing.
Pope Francis talked about that. Saints, let's not have any dour saints or dour sisters and priests. Yeah.
Yes. No, it's very true. It's very true. And that's also, I think, another great thing you see in dancers. Just when they first start dancing, a lot of times you don't see that passion per se. I mean, you can tell
they're very uncertain and tentative. Right?
Yes, they're very uncertain. They're very untentative. And the more they dance, you begin to see, the more they dance, that this passion, actually this fire, starts to build up in them. Yeah. It gets stronger, it gets stronger, and gets stronger.
And they find a way to channel it, too, so that so that they don't smack into the backstep into somebody or something, right?
Well, exactly. They channel it. I mean, but, and obviously you dance, and so you know that the more you dance, it's all about learning. You really focus on every single aspect of your body and how it moves, so that it really conveys who you are on the inside.
Yeah,
and
you become more conscious. Yeah.
In some sense, more conscious, and yet another more unconscious. You stop being so worried and being what other people. You stop worrying how other people are going to judge you in your dance, and you're just able to freely express yourself. So you're very conscious in terms of you understand that your body is now a gift. You understand that your body is a means of blessing, both for your partner and the people who watch you.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. You're no longer worried about going to the dance floor and saying, are you going to make me become a bad dancer? Or,
Yeah, it's funny. That's usually right after people take their first dance class. Before they get into it, sometimes the dancers will be free spirits. Then they've learned there's rules. And then they learn that they're breaking those rules all the time, right?
Yeah.
And then then once they start getting better, then they can forget about the rules, right? So
sort of.
Or they can be, like you said, be unconscious about it, right?
Well,
they
can, when we put it in theology of dance is we look at we base it really around the first course kind of sets out the overview of what the whole theology of dance is, and we talk about what is theology of dance. And then we take concepts from the theology of the body and show how we're going to implement them using dance. And then we talk about the two great commandments. Love God, love your neighbor.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, when he gave us those commandments, he said, those are the greatest. But he says, on these two commandments, do the rest of the law and the prophets are based upon them.
Yeah, everything else is the details of how to do that.
And so really, we don't really say so much that we're breaking the rules, but we're trying to discover and write every single rule we can find of God on our hearts. Not because we like the rules, because they're the rules. They're secondary. The reason we want to do it is because all those ways are simply tips and tricks and ways that we can love God and neighbor with the greatest excellence possible here on earth. And then carry that into heaven. So we find out, like we say, why do we love the law? We don't love the law because we're lawyers, we like it. We love it because we understand that, always our conversations should always start and always end with, how are we loving God? How are we loving neighbor? And the whole understanding of all the rules is like, we want to learn them so well that we can forget about them, per se.
Yeah.
We just want, when we're dancing, what we dance for, we want to be, basically contemplating the other, and following the music.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what dance is about. We want to be at a point where we're contemplating the other and dancing to the music, and we've just written the rules on our hearts, so we no longer have to think about it.
And you talked about, the connection is the important thing. And I know you.
Yes.
I saw you last night. You were showing a girl at the cocktail hour how one of the things is the principles is the connection.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Resistance, in swing dance at least, like you need some resistance, right? And we talked about that. How you need, we talk about, like wrestling with God, like you need the girl to counterbalance you.
Yes.
Is a huge thing, right? If there's a counterbalance, you actually can't have any lead or follow, right?
Correct. And this goes back to what I was talking earlier about with the passion and the fire. It's like God wants to work with somebody with passion and energy, because God's a God of energy. I think one of the great things I always point out to people is that people of great virtue, whether they're saints or dancers or whatever, they actually, they say, they make it look so effortless. But the truth is, they're actually putting a lot more effort into it. I mean, God is the God of all creation.
Yeah.
He's always working. God loves creating things. I mean, he's all energy. He loves building things. He loves creating things. And so, since we're made in his image and his likeness, we have that too. And so, the great thing about really advanced dancers and these advanced followers is that they're actually putting more work in their dancing. It just seems like less because they make it look so graceful.
Yeah, they make it look graceful, yeah.
But the fact that when you look at a great swing dancer or a great salsa dancer, you can realize all of a sudden, or even waltz or whatever, even though it looks smooth, you realize when you dance with them how much more energy they're able to put into their dance, than the beginning dancer, because they've developed that virtue of being able to follow well. And so now they're able to actually, their entire body is geared towards filling their dance with energy.
Yeah. And I guess you could tie this to ours also, a relationship and a marriage. In terms of the giving, the back and forth, the giving, the connection, the communication. the thing in what's amazing to me, actually, or at least definitely in swing, is that I've never followed, but the follow has to react within hundreds of milliseconds to what the lead is doing in some cases. And it's the ability to be like, the lead is sometimes planning ahead, but sometimes just being spontaneous, and the follow has to be able to just go with it.
Yes.
With no preconceived notions of what's going to happen in the next second.
Our third rule of connection in theology of dance is leaders initiate and followers respond. And that's a really big one. Obviously, since I teach, I do know how to follow. And the thing that you have to realize is you have to switch your mindset from leading to following, from planning ahead, or even you're being spontaneous, and then you're kind of in that groove as a leader. You're basically in this contemplative groove, I would call it, where things just come to you.
You're in flow,
but you're still seeing the dance ahead of you. Mm-hmm. When you switch to the follow mode, boom.
You have to do the opposite. They have to do the opposite.
They have to not anticipate.
Like
you don't see anything more than perhaps two beats ahead at the most. I mean, exactly. And it's about building all those, again, going back to those rules and learning all these different ways of responding to each lead that we've written on our hearts, so that the she's responding. And yes, you're exactly right. I mean, you see that in relationship too. When you first start out in any kind of relationship, including a marriage, it's about learning how to lead and follow with one another. And one of the things I talk about in marriage is the fact that really every marriage you look at consists really of five different kind of roles that you integrate into one. Like every single marriage, you have to be friends. Like, every marriage, you don't have to be married to be friends. But to be married, you need to be friends.
Yeah.
You're also going to be actually business partners. You're going to own your home together. You're going to manage assets.
Yeah.
You're going to be oftentimes parents. Right, and you're gonna be lovers, and finally you're gonna be brother and sister in Christ.
Yeah.
And a good marriage learns to integrate all these different roles together fluidly, and they really shift even quickly from one role to the other role, from being brother and sister in Christ to being lover to being parents. You can be able to do that in a split second. And
you have to be able to shift roles seamlessly. Yeah.
And when you're parents, the parents together take the role of lead. And their children follow, but then you switch to being lovers, and now the man is the lead, the woman's the follow.
Yeah.
And then you switch to being, brother and sister in Christ. Well, now together, the husband and wife again are following now together and letting Christ lead.
Yeah.
So you're always shifting these roles from lead to follow, and knowing when you lead and when you follow. And so, really, the husband and wife can look to one another as the husband leads or the wife follows. It's kind of their archetype, it's kind of their model for understanding, the role that they're not naturally inclined to do, per se. Like, the man's natural role in dance and in romance is to lead, the woman's role is to follow. But when the man has a prayer life, in some sense, he looks to his wife, because the wife shows him in other relationships what it means to follow. That split second timing, that ability to hear the lead. And to respond.
Yeah.
The man should look to that and take that really as his guide to understanding how to follow Christ.
Cool. Sounds like an interesting theology. So now you're gonna teach our dance class later tonight, so we'll get all into that.
I'm looking forward to that.
Cool. Great. All right. Well thanks for being on the podcast, and I look forward to the lesson tonight.
Oh, thank you very much, Joe.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Okay, that's the show for this week. That's just a tiny sample of the experience of the National Catholic Singles Conference, which is run by my good friend Anastasia Northrup. You can find out more about the conference at nationalcatholicsingles.com, and also more about Theology of the Body at tobia.info. That's the Theology of the Body International Alliance website. And again, that's tobia.info. And I must admit, I didn't catch all of the conference speakers because there was some late-night dancing involved. But I did hear many of the amazing speakers, and they gave me a lot to think about. I also made some amazingly warm new friends, especially my Houstonian ladies, who took me on an adventure around Philadelphia. And now especially I want to thank Anastasia Northrup and the whole Northrup family for another great conference, and they're truly doing God's work in all that they do. And thank you for joining us for a mile or two in our walk with God. This is Joe Geisler saying good night and God bless from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And we'll have a lot of laughs, get closer to the Lord, just chill out now.